There's probably a little bit too much fuss made about scores.
I think I'm a farmer deep down at heart. I wanted a family endeavor.
It's not about what someone else says. It's not about what rating it got. It's about what you enjoy drinking.
Wine, to start with, is something that is social.
It's about networking. It's about calling up people and ask for advice. And everybody's willing to help out.
Consumer wants something that's uncomplicated about wine. Why do you want one more thing to worry about?
I would trade this for nothing. It is my life and it is my dream.
You know, you only get to make one wine a year. It's not very much. I've been making wine most of my adult life, you know. It's only 35 Cabernets. I don't think that's a lot. I'm up for more.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle. And welcome to our 60th podcast, June 2012. On this program, we feature another woman winemaker, Sarah Fowler, winemaker at Peju Winery in Rutherford, California. This program is brought to you by Waterford Wine. Find them on the web at waterfordwine.com.
Many times over the past few years, we have interviewed women winemakers in Napa Valley with the concern of educating wine lovers as to just whom is making the wine they love. This time we talked to Sarah Fowler, winemaker at Peju, which is located in Rutherford, home to the famous Rutherford Dust. Winemaking is a demanding art, and with a family including two kids, Sarah has managed to make it all work for a very long time. We met with Sarah at Peju Winery during the week of Premier Napa Valley. You can also hear a brief interview with her at the barrel tasting from podcast number 54, part 2. So I'm here at Peju Winery with the winemaker, Sarah Fowler. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks very much for taking the time to meet with us. I know you were a little under the weather earlier in the week.
Yeah.
But you look great, so you've made a good comeback.
Working on it. On the road to recovery.
Yes. So we're here during Premier Week, and there's going to be a lot going on. Are you going to be involved with Premier
Week? Absolutely.
What are you going to be doing?
We will be... what am I not doing? We will be having a party here for the Rutherford Dust Society here at Peju. We will be pouring our Premier lot, but we're also doing... It's past, present, and future. So we'll be doing something from the past, our present, and then sell a little future sneak peek here. And we're doing... It's all the different wineries from the area getting together at Peju to pour. It's going to be fun. We've got a James Bond theme going on.
Ooh, I
and
like that.
It takes the thief, and our premier lot is called Wine Thief Sapage.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That sounds like fun.
A little spiel about me stealing around the cellar and pulling samples together for my blend. And then I will be doing a perspective tasting.
Oh, really?
For the Napa Valley Vintners, and they went ahead. I participated in earlier, a couple of months ago, and this is kind of the review of the final. So we'd gone through and tasted it. Anyone in the Valley could submit Cabernet Sauvignons and Merlots to this. I was part of the panel to go through, and everything was blind, and we went through and selected the best, turned it in. We don't know what wines were selected, and so this Friday, there'll be a perspective tasting, and I believe it's held at the CIA, and you're going to that as well.
It's at the Red Center, right?
Okay, yeah,
right.
And go through and tasting that again. And our Merlot was picked this year.
Excellent.
As one of the perspective. And so out of all the Merlots that were sent in, only 8 made it. So
wow.
I'll be tasting that. And then on Friday afternoon, we're doing the tasting here. Saturday is premiere. I'm going ahead earlier for the St. Helena Star. And I'll be doing, every year we kind of split up a certain amount. There's a group, a panel of us. We'll go through and we'll rate our premiere section. So I think I've got 20 wines to go through and taste. Mm-hmm. Rate, send it in, pick a favorite, and there's various, like, it's not just the favorite wine, but who has the best story and compelling and et cetera. It's a fun thing. So, yeah, premiere. And then there's all the little parties. Going to a competitor's party Friday night.
Are you going to be wearing dark glasses?
No, there's lots of good events that happen during premiere, so it's one of my favorite times of the year. So, this cold, got to go away because I've got some playing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't hear it in your voice, so that's a good thing.
Oh, that's good.
I agree. Premier Week is an exciting week because there's so much going on. Certainly for us when we come into town to be able to enjoy all the parties and try all these wines and certainly meet all these people, it just makes it a great place to be. So, Sarah, let's talk about you and your life and wine. You know, I always ask people this, and maybe everybody seems to have that moment. Was there a moment where you just, the switch got flipped and you went, wow.
This is what I want to do?
In terms of, well, first in wine, and then this is what I want to do.
Well, for me, the first thing, my first job ever was working at a winery. I was about 15 and a half, technically 16 on paper. Uh-huh. I worked on a mobile bottling line for a large producer. I don't know if I should say that out loud, who I worked for.
You're welcome.
Okay, I worked at Kendall Jackson back when Jed Steele was still making wine.
I think I've heard
there.
Of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're you know, they're well known.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know. And had worked there off and on through high school. And then when I was going away to college and coming back home, I would work various things. So did everything from the bottling line when I was younger to helping out in the lab and then eventually working harvest a couple of times. That's when I did all the, you know, made tanks overflow and got to my plate. Yeah, all the stuff that winemakers never want to have happen mm-hmm. happened during that trial. And at that point, I wasn't really sure that I wanted to go into winemaking. I'd made beer with my dad, loved to cook, and had dropped out of college, moved to Mexico, lived on a sailboat for a year, and, you know, eventually ran out of money, came back, and had worked another harvest at Kendall Jackson. And that's kind of where it clicked for me. I was like, I really loved the lifestyle. I really loved wine. I mean, I was the kid in high school who, you know, brought wine every day after work. I don't think they do this anymore, but they used to give us bottles of wine. I'm probably getting someone in trouble. But they used to give us wine. And so when I graduated from high school, I had like a pallet of wine. And so for parties, I brought wine to the parties.
Maybe to a degree you didn't have the whole hang-up about alcohol as you got into your high school years, or maybe you did.
No.
It was just something that you were used to. It wasn't sort of like, let's sneak this under our coats.
You know, it's true. I had friends that really wanted to sneak it and went big at parties. And for me, because we were allowed to drink it at home and I was around it and my dad and I made beer together all through high school. So it was something to appreciate. I understood it from a different kind of perspective. And I thought it was fascinating. I mean, even at an early age, I mean, I loved the food and wine. I loved the different abilities to make all different types of flavors come from the different grapes, whether it was, and with beer too. Just, I really enjoyed kind of the science, creativity, artistic meld that it came together. So for me, it did happen early, and I've always enjoyed it. I mean, of course I'm going to end up making wine.
It was a logical progression.
Absolutely.
That's what it sounds like. Are you a native of this area? Are you from California, I'm guessing, or originally?
Yes. My children are six generations. We have a 400-acre organic ranch up in Lake County, and we have grapes up there. Now Zinfandel and Syrah, pears, apples. So I grape up. I'm a farm girl.
I guess that's what you have to do to be a winemaker. Something people don't always understand.
Right.
Winemakers are farmers.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's absolutely what we are.
So how did you end up making beer with your dad? I'm kind of curious. It wasn't sort of like you were sitting at the breakfast table one day and dad said, hey, honey, let's make some beer.
So growing up on a farm, we had access to all sorts of, I mean, we, you know, had our garden was like an acre in size. My dad liked to, you know, we were always planting different things. We had pear. We started off taking our pears to St. George Spirits and having it turned into pear brandy and pear liqueur. My dad made organic apple juice and sold it at the farmer market. And this is, you know, going back, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but it's going back in some time where people weren't always, that was new. And he was on the board of directors for CCOF, which is California Certified Organic Farming. And so playing and making and creating was kind of something my family did. And so whether it was homemade apple juice or turning our pears into alcohol, so it was kind of pretty much sitting at the kitchen table saying, you know, how about let's make some beer. All right, that sounds like a great idea. And we were both bookworms. I grew up without a TV, so I read a lot. And basically we went down to, the first time we ever did it was go down to, I might say local, we actually had to go out of our county because there wasn't any beer supplies, but go picked up some beer supplies and made it, you know, very simply. And then progressively got, you know, made more and more. And then my dad at some point ended up going and buying a brewery and actually doing it more on a larger level. So But it took, you know, it was from day one to like 10 years later. So it was something that we just, you know, he likes to cook. I like to cook.
This is the end of part one. Visit lifebetweenthevines.com to download parts 2 and 3.